Welcome to Intuitive Conversations, where we discuss ideas around empowerment. I'm Tamara.
And I'm Chantel. And today we're talking about coming home to your body, just reconnecting with our bodies and our body intelligence. Where I first heard about this idea of the body having intelligence is the book called The Body Keeps the Score by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. And it's been a while since I've read the book, but the ideas stayed with me. And the ideas were that when you experience trauma, that your body keeps that memory somewhere in the body. And it also reminds me of another book I read called by Candace Pert, called The Body is the Subconscious Mind. And I've been doing a lot of studying about the subconscious mind and just knowing that it's not all in our head, it's not all in our brain, that sometimes we can experience blockages in the body and pain in the body that comes from past trauma.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have not read either of those books, and I'd love to read The Body Keeps the Score because it makes me think of things that I've heard from a massage therapist that I know who has said, you know, in massage, often emotions will come up, even people crying when you're massaging in a certain area or whatever. And I think we have been pulled away from our bodies. We've been pulled out of our bodies and into our heads because we live in a culture that is so focused on knowledge and knowing. And, you know, I think of the movie Avatar, and it's been a long time since I saw that too, but the main character, that what I remember about it is him having to learn how to drive this new body that he was put into. And what a struggle that was for him to come into that body and live in this new world. But once he managed it, he connected with this magic and this wonder of living in this planet. And I think in terms of empowerment, for us to be able to re-inhabit our bodies and reconnect with our bodies, there's so much wisdom available. We talked in one of our conversations together over coffee about indigenous cultures and shamanism, which is one of the oldest spiritual systems, and how when somebody is suffering from depression, one of the first questions that gets asked is, when did you stop dancing?
Wow.
And so when I think about what a sedentary culture we've become, so much sitting around in the office, sitting around at home, that we deny our bodies the chance to express and work out feelings, which are really energy, and how all of that gets trapped and stored.
Yeah, and in my work with people too, it is all about trauma that's been stuck in the body and releasing that and finding a way to express it and let it go in a comfortable way.
Mm-hmm.
And dancing is huge for healing. It's huge for exercise. And I find that, just in my personal life, struggling with eczema, with skin issues, diving deeper into that and asking my body why this issue was present, it brought up the answer that it was unexpressed emotion, it was unexpressed anger, unexpressed boundaries, and that my skin was speaking for me. And there again, body intelligence, your skin speaking for you is just huge.
Yeah. It's funny, as soon as you mentioned dancing, the thought that comes to my mind is, I grew up in a culture where we weren't allowed to dance.
Yeah, me too.
Mennonites don't dance.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that do to an entire culture of people when they're denied the opportunity to express what their body's feeling?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems crazy.
Yeah.
In a way.
I mean, we grew up with it, so it was normal to us. But mm-hmm. when you look at any of these cultural celebrations, every culture has a dance.
Right. Yeah. I have friends who belong to an organization called International Dances of Peace.
Wow.
Where they get together and have these gatherings in different places in North America and around the world, they get together and dance dances that have been adapted from different cultures. Mm-hmm. And it's like this coming together and expressing. I was also thinking when I was listening to you speak about the eczema and about your work with trauma, that in a similar way, when I have guided imagery and music sessions with people, and the music will bring up feelings, and part of the process is to ask them, where do you feel that in your body, and anchor it, and then to find out what that part of your body is trying to save you. And with women, often things are stuck in the throat.
Mm.
And so women who have held back their truth, who have been taught not to speak, not to be forward, not to be assertive, so much truth gets held back in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading Martha Beck's book, Finding Your Own North Star. And one of the exercises she talks about doing, one of the first things when her client comes for life coaching, is to have them do a scan, because how often do we sit and just scan our bodies and see what they are feeling, what they have to tell us. And she'll have the client do a scan from their toes right up to the top of their head and notice where there's tension. And then open a conversation with that part of your body, whether it's your throat or whether it's your stomach or in your chest somewhere, and just, what do you want to tell me if you could speak? So I ask my clients that, if your throat could speak, what would it want to say? And often their answers will come with tears and with a release, because something's been held back, and so that energy has to be released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me too of one healing session that I had. It was over video chat, but she got me to stand so she could see me sideways, and then we set up the I was grounded in my body, and then she asked me a question where she would know that the answer would be yes, and my body instinctively moved forward a little bit, and when she asked me a question that the answer was no to, my body moved backwards instinctively. Mm-hmm. And so she asked me a whole bunch of questions, like limiting belief questions, like stuff like, do you believe that you're unsafe if you're a skinny person, or like questions like that. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that my subconscious believed that being a heavier person was going to keep me safer, you know, from a sexual predator or something, you know, like just random things that we don't even realize that we believe. Our body has these answers, and we can reprogram our subconscious beliefs. It's really magical.
Yeah. We talked a little bit before we started our podcast about the idea of the owner's manual, or the operator's manual, and how it would be so nice if we had one for the body, because science has taught us a lot about our physiology and how our different body systems work, digestive system, the nervous system, and all of that. And yet we also have unseen energy systems which other traditional medical bodies of knowledge acknowledge, and wouldn't it be nice to know how to use those? I recently started reading Donna Eden's book, I forget what it's called. I think it might just be called Energy Medicine. She was a pioneer in the field of energy medicine. And I've started doing a sort of a morning routine of just, there's some tapping on different areas of the body to kind of get the energy flowing, to tap into your energy meridians. And this is not something that I would have been doing even a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been such a head person, and that's my educational background, and being a teacher and an educator. You spend so much time in the head and in the intellect and in the thinking, but having a cancer journey, going through a cancer journey, really makes you aware of what's going on in your body. And I start thinking about my disease as a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And what is my cancer trying to tell me? And it's not that, there's not a blame attached in the sense of, oh, I caused my cancer, because It's more of what am I not aware of that's going on in my body, or what is my body telling me that I'm not aware of that's going on in my psyche or in my life that I need to address. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, doing some thinking around that, and what made it appear in my body as this particular disease and this particular part of my body, and just thinking about what that has to say to me. So sometimes, you know, just sitting and having an imaginative conversation with a part of your body that is compromised with disease or is hurting or has tension, or journaling with that part of your body, can yield some really interesting insights.
And the exercise from the book, Feeding Your Demons, too, I found that to be quite helpful when there's a physical, you know, it's good for limiting beliefs, but it's also good for physical issues in the body to figure out what's going on there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like it's an empowering idea altogether, not only with the body, but when there are circumstances in our lives that we don't understand, we're trying to move through, to ask what can I learn here, instead of, you know, why me?
Right.
It's
do some of that deeper work.
Like a perspective.
Right.
Change.
You know, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing when I think about the medical community. And I went through the conventional treatment for my cancer, even though I would have preferred a gentler, more natural route. But there's such a forest of information to navigate. And when you have to make decisions quickly, and there's a sense of urgency, you need to address this could kill you kind of thing, it's really hard to know what way to go.
I feel like you did both. Like, you did a lot of like listening to music and listening to guided meditations through your treatments. Mm-hmm. And I remember you talking about like the visualization of healing in your body as you were. Want to talk a little bit about that, what you visualize?
Well, I think those things are powerful. I found a playlist on YouTube. It was one of Dan Gibson's Solitude albums. I think it was called English Country Garden or something like that. And decided I would use that because it has a sound of rain falling in behind the music, and bird songs and things like that. And what I wanted was to think of the chemotherapy as like a healing tonic that was watering my garden, my physiological inner garden. And so I would listen, as I was having my chemo, I would listen to that playlist and just send myself messages about how I was growing a beautiful garden inside, a beautiful, healthy garden, a vibrant garden with flowers, and just visualize that and listen to the rain, and that the chemo was the rain watering the garden. And then with radiation, the radiation became the sun that was growing the flowers. So that was my visualization.
It's incredible. Like the placebo effect, or the power, the mind-body connection, the power of the visualization to heal. People don't put enough importance on it.
Yeah.
But it's huge. Like the belief people have in their healing journey can do a lot.
Oh, the mind-body connection has been harnessed in sport medicine. And Bernie Siegel is an oncologist or cancer specialist. He's written a number of books about the mind-body connection and how he would use that with patients, having them draw pictures of their disease, having them talk about their dreams, having conversations with their body about what's going on. So really, there is such an untapped field of possibility, I think, when we start coming home to our body and connecting with the power in the body.
Subconsciously, we all, you know, if someone says butterflies, I have butterflies in my stomach. Or if someone says, that person makes my blood boil. Or, you know, oh, there's such a pain in the neck, right? We use these metaphors with the body to describe just things that are happening in our lives.
And, right. And that language, I think, is kind of the vestiges of this knowledge that we used to have, that the body really is an intelligent system.
Mm-hmm.
And that it holds far more wisdom than we know. And maybe I'll finish the podcast with just a little story from a book I read called Reluctant Shaman, where the author tells about her encounter with a couple of shamanic teachers from a tradition, some kind of a South American tradition. It's been a long time since I read it, but the piece that I remember from that book was how they taught her to listen for her heart song, her inner heart song. So it's kind of a form of meditation where you just sit quietly with your body and you listen. And there is a song. And I've tried this. You can actually hear the music. There's some inner music when you connect with your heart and just listen for the heart song. And once you've done that a few times, you can call up that heart song when you're sitting in traffic or waiting in line at the cash at Walmart or whatever. And then, you know, the more practiced you get with it, you can call that up in a situation where you're anxious or afraid. And the heart song becomes an empowering song that, you know, brings in love and courage. And we know the two basic emotions are fear and love, and love is the stronger one.
Mm.
So if we can connect with that heart song,
that's how you tell the difference between anxiety and intuition too.
Mm.
Whenever I've used the word heart song in the past, it's always been, I've been talking about my intuition, and that's a beautiful metaphor. I'm gonna be doing that practice, finding my heart song. And we just encourage all of you listeners to keep following your heart song. You know, there's that inner desire, that spark, something that makes you come alive. And every day we need to wake up and ask ourselves what that is.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because in the book they call it the being alive song.
Mm.
So it's the song of being alive. It's the song of life inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
And it gives energy. It gives energy when we follow what excites our spirit. I remember when my oldest graduated and I had to write something for her yearbook, and that's just what came to me as being the most important thing. Like, so often we get sidetracked of what we think the most important thing is for our children to do, but my heart's desire is that they follow their heart song, and they just follow what makes them feel alive. And so, yes, we will continue this conversation another time. Thanks for tuning in, and keep following your heart song.